o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. Begins with more of your calls, some of your texts, and a bunch of your tweets on your view of Aaron Rodgers. A lot of not quite good enough fill in the blanks.
That's kind of what you said, Jason. If I'm not, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Lord knows I'm not going to do that. But
that's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
That feels like not quite harsh enough either. Like not quite good enough. Also not quite harsh enough in the crit. Like so, somewhere between not quite good enough and it's his fault. Is where I kind of want to be. And I can't come up with a phrase.
So if you're grading his playoff after the Super Bowl run, because the Super Bowl run is going to inflate all other grades because of how great he was for three of those four games. Where are you grading him from 11 till now?
So I thought, and we like to challenge our listeners, right? So bring your best game to the First Midwest Bank talk and text line 800-990-3776. I thought Dave in Indiana saying that he turned in B minus or C plus work, I thought that was really good, because I do think that he's had some games. Like, look, they've won some playoff games too. We're not focusing on the ones they've won, but hey, he's turned in some A assignments in the games they've won as well.
Has he turned any A assignments in that they've lost?
No, I don't think he has. No.
So there is the uneven part.
Yeah, if that's what we're going for, that's that. I think that kind of sums it up, is that, hey, yeah, they would have, and they might have lost those games that he didn't turn in
anyway,
an A assignment in that they won.
Because last year's game, I would have given him a B in the NFC Championship game, because he was pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
But he threw the pick before the half, and it comes back to, did he get it done at the end? And it didn't happen for whatever reason. The ball took the ball out of his hands. He didn't get it two, three and outs. That was the case where I thought you could have really elevated, and it didn't happen. But the last year, last year's game is the trickiest one of all of them for me to judge.
Agreed.
Because his stats were good, and you felt like he wasn't quite as great as he was for the vast majority of the season.
All right, I want to get some more calls, and I want to get to your texts and your tweets here, so bear with me. But I let me follow up on that with you. Again, 800-990-3776 is the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. Get your texts in. We'll take more of your calls here momentarily, so if you're on hold, stay there. Tausch, when you look at that game, and look, it came up when he was guest hosting Jeopardy, right? And the final answer, the guy wrote down the joke about settling for the field goal. Who's more at fault for them not getting a touchdown in that scenario? And again, this is coming from, at least from me, I'm not going to put words in your mouth either, but they had to get two scores either way. A touchdown was not going to win the game for them. They still had to get the ball back and go kick the field goal. And if Kevin King isn't called for pass interference, they do get the ball back. Does he go down there and score? I don't know. But the strategy was not that flawed.
It was an 8-point game, so you would have tied it with a 2-point conversion. Let's hold up here. So, but what we still forget about is you're giving Tampa Tom a minute 50 with three timeouts or two timeouts
Correct.
To go down and kick a field
still
goal to win.
Stop.
I still would prefer that pressure than the pressure of up five and going down. So, yes, I understand your point, but I would have still loved to have seen that, and it didn't get done for
whatever reason. So what you're saying is you go for it on fourth and goal from the eight, you get a touchdown, you get a 2-point conversion, you still have to get a stop to force overtime?
Yes.
Right? All right, so who's more at fault for that failure in the end? Is it Matt LaFleur, who got grief on Jeopardy, or is it Aaron Rodgers for not getting them in the end zone when they had first and goal? I would say it's probably Aaron Rodgers there. I think you can make that argument pretty effectively. And it wasn't, he did not get the criticism because of the decision that Matt LaFleur made and him making the comment afterward where I thought we were going to have four shots at it. Well, that's a breakdown in communication between the two of them then, if he didn't know that was how it was going to go. 800-990-3776. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Dave in Cedarburg. Dave, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you today?
Great, great. Hey, one thing real quickly before we get to football. Tausch, don't let up on Sheepshead. It's a great game. It's an intellectual game. If Jason ever tries it, he'll love it.
Now, wait a minute. Well, I'm not going
to
be besmirched
here. You don't ever have to worry about that. There's a few staples that I have. Pickleball and Sheepshead are both in there. So just so you guys know, don't ever worry. That is happening.
All other games pale in comparison. I mean,
couldn't agree more.
Canyon.
Couldn't agree more.
Canyon.
Yep.
Yes, go ahead,
Packers,
Dave.
Regarding the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and so on, comparing him to Brady, people keep forgetting. I mean, they had Belichick as a coach. I mean, it was phenomenal what he could do. And most of the people look at it instead like all these years were squandered with two great quarterbacks and, frankly, mediocre coaching. And I don't think it's that case this year, though, because I think LaFleur is going to help coach him through the playoffs. That's just my opinion. I mean, think about Seattle. You know, New England, they almost lost that game to Seattle. Other than the guy jumping the throw from Russell Wilson, they would have lost one of those. I mean, it's about a lot about coaching. It's not just one person.
Hey, Dave, before you go, Aaron Rodgers, the queen of clubs, what do you got LaFleur? Is he ace of diamonds? Is he a jack? Is he a bare ace? Like, what are you calling Matt LaFleur in the Sheepshead deck?
Well, he's probably like a jack of spades, I'd say. You know, he's there. You need a high trump.
Okay.
You want to put your whole game on it, you know? But he can take a trump when you need him.
All right. That seems reasonable. Okay. Jason, do you understand that terminology?
No, and that is my point about Sheepshead, that if you don't play, this is a niche conversation for the rest of America.
You're 800-990.
So Tausch, what is Matt LaFleur in the Sheepshead deck?
I have him as the ace of diamonds. He is going to be a valuable piece. He can lay down and trump any fail lead if you're out of, let's say it's clubs, and you don't have a club. Hey, that's where he can pull out and get it and get points home. He is not going to be the needle mover, but he can certainly make a big play or a big call that will move, that will end up doing something that will help determine the game. He's not your big trump that will, well, we got LaFleur, it's a chip. That's Aaron Rodgers, but he can be a critical piece that can sway a game one way or the other.
We'll have more Sheepshead talk with Jay Bird and Tausch coming up as we roll on.
I would love to have more people understand
Ashton,
it because this is
not,
a question.
I am not one for nicknames. So when we have callers that have nicknames, I don't really like to refer to them that way. I want real names.
Oh, Jay Bird.
So you, Ashton, welcome in our next caller.
Corndog and Cudahy. What's up, Corndog? Corndog, are you
there? Corndog, are you there?
Are you in the fryer still?
Hey, fellas, how are we? I was
doing awesome, Corndog.
I was wondering, well, last year they totally abandoned the run game when we were down in that red zone, too. That was one thing I was thinking about. I was like, they're making all these shots, and then they never even – we had a good running game going in that game as well as I think into the season, but they totally gave up on the run game right there. And that's kind of – I don't know if that was because of Aaron Rodgers just calling, like, audibles or whatever he's just having the playbook, or if that was Matt LaFleur. But they never even gave our horses a shot there to run it in there.
So, Corndog, I'm glad you brought this up. And we're having trouble with your connection, so thanks for the call. We had Aaron Jones yesterday, and we talked with him about – the playoffs last year, and you know, he got a couple questions about the fumble that he had against Tampa, which was obviously a huge play. There's no denying that. But you look at what they did against the Rams, and this was the point that I made to Aaron Jones. So Aaron Jones had 14 carries for 99 yards against the Rams. He had a 60-yard run, okay? Jamal Williams also had 12 carries for 65 yards, and Dylan had 27 more yards. They ran for 191 yards among their three running backs in that game. And they also had the deep ball to Alan Lazard. Like, their offense did a great balanced mix. You know what their numbers were running the football, as Corndog points out, against the Bucs? Aaron Jones, 6 carries, 27 yards. Jamal Williams, 7 carries, 23 yards. A.J. Dillon, 3 carries, 17 yards. Now, again, you give up a Hail Mary at the half, and you're down 27-10, I understand you're going to be inclined to throw the football more. But you get back in the game, you can run the ball more, and they didn't. And they, I understand that there are all kinds of blame to go around, Tausch, but I do think part of it is you have, especially this year, you feel great about your two running backs. You probably need to give them the football a little more than you did the last time you played a playoff game. Fair?
Yeah, I just think with Tampa Bay, everybody looks at Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh, and especially, you know, this year with some of the injuries they've had in the back end, people don't try to run the football because you're not having a ton of success. That is the number one ranked rush defense again. So we're not moving forward and looking at what potentially could be. But when you look back at that game, Aaron Jones, I think, got dinged up in that game too. I don't remember exactly if he finished it.
No, he did not.
But he was... So that you combine that with the injury, and they didn't feel as good about A.J. Dillon as they do this year. He is going to be a much bigger piece to this puzzle this season compared to where it was last year. So I definitely think when any criticism you have of Matt LaFleur, I criticized him after that week one game against New Orleans because they got rid of running the football. That is still his staple. Now, he has a great quarterback to lean on, that you're going to lean on, but I do think that last year that could have helped, but the game kind of spiraled, and you're kind of playing catch-up. It does make it difficult to try to stay balanced.
It is going to be 36 degrees here in Green Bay today, but it's going to be very cold on Saturday night. That is a great time to make sure that your mountains are a beautiful blue. And before Tausch tells you about his mountains, I have one word or sound for you. Eeyaw! We're going to play trivia coming up after Tausch rustles through his papers and tells us about Coors Light.
Going to be a beautiful day. Going to be a lot of Coors Light being drunk because, chill, Saturday night is going to be the time of our lives, and it's going to be Coors Light in our hand. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans. If you're up at Lambeau, you ain't going to have to sweat it. They're going to be blue, and that means it is chilled to perfection. It's always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
800-990-3776, 800-990-3776, time for trivia, and the category, get in the zone, time zones. Jesse's questions today are about time zones. Caller 10, right now. 800-990-3776 on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. 800-990-3776. Caller 10 for trivia. We will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Bastion, before we play trivia, I made a purchase yesterday, and when I made it, I thought of you.
Oh, nice.
Oreo Thins.
Oh, no, put them back. No, return them.
This was, I thought that it might incur your wrath. They're
dead
the
last.
Mint ones.
Dead last.
But is this defeating the purpose
mint?
Of getting Oreos, is getting the Thins?
Yeah, Jason, listen, you know how much you mean to me. For the love of God, please don't do that again.
How much
Why?
Does he mean to you? I'm kind of curious.
You guys owe me
how
a
much
lot.
Does Jason mean to you?
Well,
a lot? Okay.
He means
more
enough.
Than you mean to him.
It's not what I said. I would not say that. I don't
okay
agree with that.
That
statement. No, you had put me in a
picture. So what I don't get about the Oreo, though, you're still – the whole point of the outer edge, Oreos are known for their creamy inside filling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not – if you're getting the crunch of the outside cookie, that's all you're looking for. If you could cut a couple carbs back and still enjoy – why is it wrong for it to be thin?
No, it's not an Ashton. Oreo then. It's, first of all, Jason, if you don't mind me asking, do you know what the price was of those versus a regular size Oreo? You're paying the same amount of money for less Oreo. That's the main thing.
I don't
know. Paula,
I'll be
honest.
I'd rather
pay
Paula
for taste.
Was actually Paula bought them at my behest at Woodman's yesterday. I asked her to get them. So and I did think of you when I made that request. But they're the mint ones, but Tausch, nice. You're right. I think it's a little less cookie, but definitely a lot less filling. And it ain't no double stuff, I can tell you that much. All right, let's play trivia. Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Jay in Pewaukee. Jay, good morning. How are you today?
Morning. Doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. Being questioned for my Oreo decision-making. Kind of like Aaron Rodgers being questioned for his postseason performance. The category, get in the zone, time zones. Question one. If it is 11:15 in New York City, what time is it in San Francisco, California? Is it 9:15, 8:15, or ding, ding, it's trolley time?
8:15.
Question two, Tausch.
I was hoping we didn't have to fact check that. I started going through it. Okay, so you got Eastern's 11:15. Then you got Central. The Mountain Time Zone, I don't even want to get started with that, so I'll move on. All right, Jay, how many hours is Hawaii behind the Central Time Zone? Is it 2, 4, or 6 hours?
4.
Now, this is a tricky question because I've been over to Hawaii in March, and I think with the clocks not changing, it's usually 5 hours, Jesse. Just so if he had said 6, there could have been some issues. That's all I'm saying.
So it would have been wrong.
Instead, he did say 4, and the streak continues, thankfully.
There would have been no issue whatsoever. No. He would have been like, it's still not 6.
but 5 would have been a correct answer available to him. Yeah,
well, sure,
you don't have any
understand.
Right answers.
Yeah, but, well, 4 is a
so
possible
four
correct
So 4 would have been correct.
Jesse, just say, okay, that's fine. I'm glad he got it right. Let's move on. Thanks.
You know what I love about sports radio is arguing about non-issues and hypotheticals that could have happened. Like, what if the Cowboys did come back and win?
Question 3. It's not that hard to say, yeah, I made a mistake there. It's not that hard. Question 3, Jay. Which of these cities is not located in the Central Time Zone? I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous about this question, too.
Well, don't question Jesse, though. No.
Which of these cities is not located in the Central Time Zone? New Orleans, Louisiana. Indianapolis, Indiana. Or Nashville, Tennessee?
First one.
New Orleans is definitely in the Central Time Zone. Nashville, definitely in the Central Time Zone. Jesse, I have been to Indianapolis at a time when the clocks changed everywhere else, and they didn't change there. So what time zone does that put Indianapolis in, technically?
Indianapolis is in the Eastern Time Zone. Indianapolis is in the Eastern Time Zone. Whether they observe daylight savings, I don't know if that plays a factor into it or not, but they are in the Eastern Time Zone. A search of Google when you say what time zone is New Orleans in, what time zone is Nashville in, what time zone is Indianapolis in, Central, Central, Eastern.
So Phoenix does this also. So they're in the Pacific time zone during certain times and the Mountain time zone, or at least they have the same time as the Mountain time zone at other times. So this was tricky, but you did say New Orleans, and New Orleans is definitely in the Central time zone, and Jesse's going to tell you, it doesn't matter, you got it wrong. Sorry, Jay. Good job anyway. Three entries out of a possible four. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one.
I saw that on the rundown tonight. Yeah, well, maybe we shouldn't do trivia about them. Just a thought.
They are tricky. I used to be really good at time zones, and now I can't get them straight at all.
I used to be really good at time zones.
You know, it goes back to Mrs. Bites class in seventh grade. We had a Jeopardy. Jeopardy.
All right, we got to talk to Homer. He's scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch. They say he's from the South. You know what that music means? But before we get to Uncle Homer, before he Homer trues on the show again, can we just agree right now that we will never do time zone trivia again? Because I'm getting the private First Midwest Bank talk and text line. First of all, Josh DiMaggio. It takes a village to get Wilde and Tausch on the air. He's in the fact-checking role of our three producers. April 2nd, 2006, Indiana gave in to Big Time Zone. They are now officially observing daylight savings.
Jason, that might be the funniest thing you've said all 2022. That was great.
It's not me. It was Josh who had the great line about Big Time Zone. Now,
there is a text on the First Midwest Bank talking text line from Jim in Indianapolis, who has as good insight as anybody into what time it is
you
in Indianapolis.
Think. Yeah, you'd think.
Indianapolis is in the Eastern time zone and does participate in daylight savings time, so we are always 1 hour ahead of y'all in Wisconsin. Thank you,
Jim. So between Jim and Josh, I have learned that when I was covering Big Ten tournaments in Indianapolis and there would be a time change for daylight savings, it wouldn't change, but they gave in, as Josh so eloquently put it, to Big Time Zone. Also, Tausch, I've never been to Hawaii. You have. Pipe Jim, frequent private talk and text line texter. Was the question about Honolulu or Hawaii in general? Because Hawaii, encompassing all the islands, has like six time zones. Is that true?
No, six?
No way.
I don't think it's six. I would have thought two, but six seems a bit much. But I'll trust Pipe Jim. He's usually pretty on it. But well, I do know that it does change from 5 hour differential to six, because I think we had NFLPA meetings and it would a lot of times kind of balance up when the clocks changed, and it would always throw me into like a tizzy because I never understand what the heck what was going on.
Well, speaking according of things the, and
sorry, according to the USA Today, there are six time zones observed by the United States. You have Eastern, Central, Mountain, Pacific, Alaskan, and Hawaii.
Where does Alaska fall on that? That's after Pacific and in between Hawaii? No, I'm serious.
I don't know, Tausch.
I curse
have to do
your
digging.
Name, Jesse Nelson. All right, moving on. Since Homer's been on hold for 6 minutes, it's time now to talk to Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you today?
I am an expert on this because I grew up in the weirdest time zone place ever, South in Indiana. The only place I've ever known where the news was at 10 o'clock some of the year, and then other times it was 11.
Huh. Because they didn't do daylight savings, right?
They changed from Central to Eastern. I don't know what they do now. Maybe they've changed, but there's no other place that has different evening news times for the last one. Whatever time it is, 10 or 11, it's all year, except in South Bend. But it's more than you needed to know. So,
well, I can say this without question. I have gotten a lot more than I needed to know about time zones in the last 15 minutes, so that's okay. Homer, how are you feeling about Packers?
You guys are talking about Aaron Rodgers. I love it.
It's yes, awesome. That's what I wanted to get to. But instead, we talked about time zones. How are you feeling about the Packers, and how would you answer the Aaron Rodgers question that we have posed, the fill-in-the-blank question of how you would assess Aaron Rodgers' playoff performances since they won the Super Bowl?
Lower than expectations given his MVP level, especially last year. I get bothered by this discussion.
Longer than mine.
Do you realize that? So they got an interception in the second half. They scored a touchdown to go from 28-17 to 28-23. They got another interception, pass, pass, sack, punt. They got another interception, sack, pass, pass, punt. There is no way anybody can be blamed for the loss but Aaron Rodgers. That is pathetic for an MVP. They never put Brady in a chance to be behind, and Brady will never, probably never has, and never will in the future, throw interceptions in three straight possessions in the second half, two with a five-point lead, and the MVP offense could not get one first down. How can anything else be discussed in that game at that level, given his greatness?
Well, and Homer, listen, I don't think anybody was arguing that. I said that was the most disappointing part, but to sit and act as if the plays that Kevin King and that defense, hold up, the play at the end of the half was a huge turning point. Fine. Then obviously the Aaron Jones fumble, it was the first half the defense wasn't good enough, and in the second half the offense wasn't good enough. That's all. I mean, it isn't always about Aaron Rodgers, but that point Aaron needed to make a play, and they didn't. And he did get criticized, but it was probably third or fourth on the list of criticisms after the LaFleur not going for it, and Kevin King and Aaron Jones. That's all.
And they're all wrong because it should be number one. To compare Kevin King to Aaron Rodgers, like Kevin King made a mistake, well, that's fine. He's no Aaron Rodgers. They got the greatest historic benefit in the history of Tom Brady and did nothing with it. Oh, they did something with it when they were down by 11, but now they get down by 5. They don't get a first down. There will be no point in his playoff career, as pathetic as that. And the fact that it isn't number one for everyone amazes me. He's the MVP. You want to look at his numbers? He can't get a first down with the game on the line, getting the greatest gift that Tom Brady has ever given in the history of his great career. Three straight interceptions.
Yeah, hard to argue. That was a lot of opportunity that was wasted. There's no doubt about that.
With the MVP quarterback having one of his greatest seasons ever.
At home. Yeah, it is definitely it's definitely a spot on his resume that he'd like to have changed, for sure.
But it's all, in the history of his legacy, it's all, there's no, he doesn't need anything for his legacy. His legacy, if he never goes to another Super Bowl, is going to be like Steve Young, Peyton Manning. Phenomenal regular season quarterbacks, greatness of the game. They're in the club. They got a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning's playoff record, 14-13. Steve Young's playoff record, 8-6. Rodgers is 11-9. They're so great. They made their teams better than they were. But when they got in the playoffs and they're playing good teams, they couldn't do it. They can lose the next game. Any concern of his legacy is idiotic, given where other people. He's never going to be among the greats as far as Super Bowls. He's never going to win enough. He's not Brady. He's not Montana. He's not Bradshaw. None of those. He's in this group of spectacular players that don't do as much in the playoffs. And nobody, Peyton Manning, people respect his greatness. People respect the greatness of Steve Young because of all the numbers they have, and they're in the club. You got to have one. He's got one. It's just whatever's in his head in terms of how much winning he needs. His legacy will never change.
So, Homer, I guess the challenge that I have then is if we, and they're always going to be compared because they are joined at the hip and now they're good buddies after being predecessor and successor. But then how do you view Brett Favre's career playoff ledger? The Packers, with him at quarterback, also not great in terms of their winning percentage with him. There were more glaring, colossal mistakes as opposed to, say, missed opportunities. But they were 12-10 with Brett Favre as their starting quarterback in playoff games. The Minnesota Vikings, by the way, 1-1 because they played two games in 2009, and that was it. So how do you view Favre's playoff legacy?
He's in that kind of club. I don't think he gets the same respect for the incredible statistics that Rodgers has. That's why I compare him to Manning and Young, but they're in the same club. He got the Super Bowl. I mean, nobody looks at Peyton. You didn't even know. It's knowledgeable. You are. Peyton Manning was 2-2 in the Super Bowls. Young only got one. Rodgers got one. Favre got two. You know, they're all there. If you like the numbers and his greatness in the regular season, then you'll give Rodgers the edge. But they're in the same neighborhood. They're fine. Some will pick Rodgers.
Homer,
some will pick Favre.
I got to disagree in the fact that if Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, he is, from a legacy standpoint, it does move him up. It is going to. If people look at him and, you know, the talent and everything else, they already have him up at the top. But winning and getting another one, the whole idea of even thinking about lumping him in with Favre, that changes. Putting him up with Peyton Manning is right where he'd be. That is going to change. So it does. Winning championships affects your legacy. That is a no question. Aaron knows that. Everybody knows that. So to sit and say that it ain't going to matter, I just think you're being you're just wrong.
Okay, so now he's a little below Peyton Manning, and now he equals Peyton Manning. Lottie frickin' da. I mean, yes, it moves him up, but what I'm telling you is it moves you up very little. So it may be special to him to be above Brett Favre, but in the big picture, two doesn't make much difference.
Homer, little is when you're talking about that kind of greatness, that is huge.
Okay, you're not going to get past Tom. Well, I know.
You're not going to get past Tom, but
Bradshaw, Homer, all those guys. Where is he now? Compare him now to Manning and tell me how that changes if Rodgers wins a second. Where is he now compared to Manning and how much that changes if he wins another one? I'll be
Peyton Manning is ahead of him right now. If Aaron wins another one, Aaron passes Peyton Manning. That's how I look at it.
How do you do that?
Because Peyton Manning's MVP second Super Bowl win was all the Denver defense, and there were times where you didn't even think that you wanted him to be the starting quarterback.
He got benched, and there's a lot of – but you're right in the fact, grand scheme, it doesn't really matter. But when you're talking about these margins and the fact that there's tiers of quarterback, Tom Brady's up there because he's got seven. There's another group. There are a lot of quarterbacks that got one. There are not that many that got two, and there's even fewer that got three. Nobody's going to get to seven. But to get from one to two is a monster part of what Aaron Rodgers, I think, if you want to elevate your legacy, which I know he does, this needs to happen.
All right, first of all, he's the top with one, correct?
He's the best Super Bowl winning quarterback, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Sure, right. I'll buy that.
So he's gonna, and if he wins, he's not gonna move that much with two. He'll move up.
He'll be the top with two.
Well, I don't have him ahead of Manning, but that's fine.
Well,
I mean, who are the others that have two?
I mean, Eli Manning.
But he's ahead of Eli Manning now.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
John Elway.
Well,
there's a bunch. There's
now. You have him ahead of Elway.
No, I don't.
He'll pass maybe one or two. Because we can't even think of the other people that have two. So clearly they're important.
Here you go. All right. The Super Bowl
now.
Two Super Bowl championships.
Yeah, I know.
For
I know one of them is Plunkett. He's way ahead of Plunkett already.
Now, Bart Starr, we won't count because he also had three other titles, but he has two Super Bowl titles.
He has five.
Jim Plunkett, John Elway, Ben Roethlisberger.
Right, he's already ahead of Roethlisberger.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Those are the Super Bowl quarterbacks with two right. Super Bowl titles. Three, right. Troy Aikman.
Ain't passing him.
There's a lot of people that don't think he was all that good, and he was a beneficiary of all the talent in Dallas.
He's not, right. If he's not passing him with a second. He's already passed him if you're in that group. He doesn't need a second to pass Aikman if you're in that group. Right.
And then four, it's Bradshaw and Montana, and then obviously Brady was seven.
Yeah, he's got – they're in a different neighborhood, bigger house. It's so he, you know, it's all dependent. You know, if you don't think he's as good as Roethlisberger, which I think everyone does, even though Roethlisberger has two. So it doesn't – you know, how many does he move? He moves one spot, Peyton Manning. Mm. And I don't even think he moves that, so – we're talking about one spot. So I'm sure it's important to him. I'm just saying the legacy is winning one. John Madden is one of the worst coaches ever. I think of this with Matt LaFleur. John Madden lost five conference championship games in a row, won one, then lost another one. He's 1-6. That makes him one of the greatest losers ever, except he won one. All you got to do is one. Rodgers has done it. Great quarterback.
Homer, last question before we let you go.
Yes.
Terry Bradshaw has four Super Bowl titles. We know
right.
I was not alive for some of them, but some of them I was. The Steel Curtain, et cetera, et cetera. How would you compare Aaron Rodgers and Terry Bradshaw? Because Aaron Rodgers is, I would say, safely, he's not going to get the four Super Bowl championships before his days are done.
And in fairness of Bradshaw, check, as they won, I don't know if it's the last one, he had a much bigger role in the offense. The defense was not as dominant as it was early. He took on a more important role, and their offense was a bigger part of it. So, like, is he going to be meet Terry Bradshaw? Never.
Okay.
The other thing I want to
Homer, I hope you enjoyed
Rodgers, Rodgers is really weird. People need to know his quarterback rating was plus. Like, he had a horrible rating against Chicago, and they won. His quarterback rating since Chicago and Seattle has actually been really good in an NFC Championship game, but they don't win them. So it's really weird that it shows the importance of the rest of the team. But if you take out the two, Seattle and Chicago, the last three, even though they haven't won any, his quarterback rating's been pretty good. So,
thanks, Homer.
Bye.
This is more complicated than I guess I realized. So it's an interesting conversation. But when you're trying to match eras, I think that becomes a lot more difficult. We'll get ready to talk to our buddy Mike Golic. He'll be coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Because we spent so much time discussing time zones, I didn't get to mention that Homer is the voice of Marquette men's basketball on the Marquette Network, your flagship, of course, being 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. And because he is the voice of Marquette basketball, we're going to give away some tickets, courtesy of Coors Light here momentarily, to the game on Sunday between Marquette and Xavier at Fiserv Forum. But before that, Tausch, this happens a lot with me, with both Homer and with you. This is the one way for me that you two are similar, is that you'll say things that I want to be dismissive of, and I have learned now not to be reactionarily dismissive, because a lot of times I'll do this. Huh. You know, now that I think about that, that's actually not a bad point. What happened with your discussion with him about moving Rodgers up, and you can tell me to go take a long walk off a short pier on this, but you were talking about how much it would burnish Rodgers' legacy if he won another Super Bowl. It would certainly make his legacy much more impressive. Whereas Homer was talking about how much would he really move up the rankings. And he has Aaron Rodgers in all-time quarterbacks ahead of Eli Manning already, even though Eli Manning has another Super Bowl win. He's got him ahead of Ben Roethlisberger, even though Ben Roethlisberger has another Super Bowl win. And you have him on the cusp of being ahead of Peyton Manning, who will have most likely been ahead of him in terms of Super Bowl appearances, even if the Packers go to this one and win it to get him his second Super Bowl title.
Fair?
Yeah, I think where it gets tricky and why it means so much is because, and I love the Inside the NBA show, and Barkley sitting there with no rings. He's got Kenny Smith there with two, and there's nobody on earth that's saying Kenny Smith's a better basketball player than Charles Barkley.
Right.
But what do you think Kenny Smith can always go back? Well, you know, I was part of a team that won two. Rings. It matters. So for everybody that's saying, well, you know, everybody knows Aaron Rodgers better than Eli Manning. Yeah, I think that's universally known. But Eli Manning can say, well, we got it done twice, and one of them was, you know, both were in Green Bay, and you were on the team both times. We went through you. That matters. So I understand all that, and it's for, as you know, it's for everybody else to decide. That's not their, the players' goals are to win every year. Not going to do that. You can start comparing, well, Peyton and this. That's what's fun for us to have, and our fans, that they can go through and do all that. Aaron Rodgers, talent-wise, is up here. But with a championship, there's a lot of people on the same line, tier one, as Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't want to be tier one. He wants to be tier one up by the Bradys and everybody else.
800-990-3776, caller 5 right now. 800-990-3776, caller 5 will win 4 sweet tickets to Sunday's Marquette Xavier game at Fiserv Forum, courtesy of Coors Light. That's a 1 p.m. tip time, Central Standard Time in the Central Time Zone. 800-990-3776, caller 5. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Mike Golic scheduled to appear. That's all next. It's Wilde and Tausch.